Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. For without faith it is impossible to please God, to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would increase our faith. Lord, that you would help us not to be Christians of little faith or no faith. Help our faith to be perfected and strengthened. And Lord, I would ask that you would help us to understand tonight what it means to live by faith. And the Lord, introduce us tonight to this great word, this great Bible word, and this fruit of the Spirit, Lord. And may it be increased in each of our lives. In this year, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I didn't start in Galatians, but let me just read it to you. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Hebrews chapter number 11 certainly is known in the Bible as the faith chapter. One of the prayer requests that I've listed for my life and for the life of the members of our church during this year, where we are asking God for a double portion, where we're daring to desire a double portion of the Spirit of God and his influence in our life, is that God would increase our faith. I want to just start in Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to just do a few things tonight. This will be kind of an introductory message on faith. But I want to show you tonight that in the opening verses of this chapter, you'll see faith defined. Then you'll see faith exalted, the importance of faith exalted. And then, of course, the entire chapter is filled with illustrations of faith, or faith illustrated. The Bible says in verse number 1 of Hebrews chapter 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This word substance, if you were to do a little bit of a word study on that word substance, it talks about the word confidence. It's synonymous with the word confidence. There's a confidence. Faith provides a confidence of things that we hope for or ask for. The evidence stands for the word conviction. And so this is not just a I think it might happen. It is an assurance that it will happen. An assurance that the things that we cannot see truly exist. I want to give you a definition of faith, and my goodness sakes, you'll hear 10 different messages on faith, and you'll probably hear 10 different definitions, but if you were to put them all in front of you, we'll find that they probably are more similar than you might think. This is how I have allowed the Bible to define faith for me. Faith is a quiet inner confidence in God's character, God's word, and God's leading. Let me say that again. Faith is a quiet inner confidence in God's character, God's word, and God's leading. Now, what we want to happen in our lives is that our faith would be increased, where we would have more inner confidence in the character of God. We would have more of a inner confidence in the Word of God, that we would have more of an inner confidence in the leading of God, so that when we discern that leading, we would without hesitation step out and follow whatever it is that God would point us to do, whether it makes sense, whether it doesn't make sense, whether the world understands or does not understand, whether we can see the end of what God's asked us to do or know how it's going to work out or not. We just simply, by faith, follow the leading of Almighty God. Let me summarize it by reading this. I am confident, if I have faith, I am confident that God's character is unchangeable. I am confident that He is holy, loving, righteous, and good. Therefore, with conviction, I will trust in God by faith. That is the statement of faith concerning the character of God. How about this? I am confident that God's word is reliable, that He has preserved it for me, that it is holy and accurate and true. Therefore, with conviction, I will obey God's word by faith. So we're talking about faith, this quiet inner confidence in God's character, God's word, and God's leading. Let me read this. I am confident that God's leading is trustworthy, that He knows better than I the path I am to take. Therefore, with conviction, I will follow God's will by faith. So see, we have faith in God's character, we have faith in God's word, and then we have faith in God's leading. So the faith that we have in His character and the faith that we have in His word causes us to be willing to step out in obedience and follow His leading no matter what He would ask us to do. Does that help you a little bit? Now, I want to take you back to Genesis chapter 3 because I want you to see in this chapter where Satan appears to Eve and begins to tempt her, I want you to see something. When Satan wants to attack your faith, when Satan wants to weaken your faith, what he really is trying to do is to shake your inner confidence in God's character, in God's word, and in God's leading. Well, I want you to get those three thoughts. I want you to get them firm in your heart tonight. Faith is a quiet confidence in God's character, in God's word, and in God's leading. Now, Satan attacks our faith by attacking our confidence in God. In Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1, now the serpent was more subtile than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, folks, one of the things, what we see in this temptation that he brings in an attempt to get Eve to commit this sin and disobey God is we see that he attacks her faith in Almighty God. Now, he does it in three very distinct ways. He first attacks the character of God. Remember, folks, faith is a quiet inner confidence in God's character. So he attacks God's character. Did you notice verse number 4? And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. You know what he said there? He said, God's a liar. Now, Jesus said, I am the way, the what? Truth and the lie. So God says that he is truth, and Satan comes along and says, God is not truth. God is a liar. And he attacks the very character of God. In verse number 5, you know what? He portrays God as somebody that's trying to keep Adam and Eve from having the very best that they could have, from experiencing some of the things that they could experience if it was not for his strict rules and standards. And so he's trying to get Eve to lose confidence in the character of Almighty God. Then Satan attacks the word of God. We've seen in verse number 1, yea, hath God said. And then he says again in verse number 4, of course, he defies the word of God. He begins to question the word of God. And then he completely goes against the word of God and proclaims it as not true. He says of God's character, God is a liar. God is selfish. He says of God's word, it's unreliable. It's untrue. And so what is happening here? What's happening is Eve's faith is being attacked. How does Satan attack your faith? He attacks your quiet confidence in who God truly is, in His character, in His word, and in His leading. We see last of all that Satan attacks God's leading. God's leading He's telling in verse number 5, God's leading is designed to keep you from all that you could have and be. Listen, if you follow what God has laid down as the rules of the garden, you're going to miss out on some great things. You're never going to experience some very exciting things. Hey, you know what? God's leading is wrong. God's leading is too restrictive. God's leading is selfish on His part and is robbing you from all the things that you could experience. Listen, nothing has changed in Satan's approach. Satan still wants to attack the character of God and will constantly try to do that in your life. You know why? Because he wants to shake your faith in God. He will constantly attack the Word of God. You know why? Because he wants to shake your faith in the Word of God. Then he'll constantly attack the leading of God and try to portray it as something that's a negative thing or a bad thing or something that's going to rob you from the best that you could get out of life if you follow the leading of God. And so, folks, what we need to do and what we need to ask God to do is strengthen our faith. There's only one way to successfully live the Christian life, and that is to live it by faith. Hebrews 10:38, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. The just shall live by faith. I had a man come to me one day, and he said, he was a Christian. He said, isn't it true that you preachers are supposed to live by faith? And I said, well, I've never read that in the Bible anywhere, a verse that says preachers are to live by faith. But I can show you several times, three different times, where the Bible specifically states that the just shall live by faith. I said, brother, are you a Christian? Are you a born-again Christian? Yes. I said, well, you've been justified. So whatever that means, living by faith, is as much for you as it is for me. We're all to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Now, folks, listen to me tonight, because one of the things I want to talk to you about and I want to try to shore up in your life, I want you to spend a little time here before we move on to see how faith is exalted and the importance of it. I want you to ask yourself a couple of questions. How successful has Satan been in attacking your view of God's character? Has he shaken your faith in the character of Almighty God? For instance, when I say this, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Is there a quiet confidence inside of your heart that says, yes, preacher, you know what? That's 100% right. I've seen it over and over and over. You know what? If that's your normal reaction, then your faith is strong, because you know what? You have not let Satan shake your confidence in the character of God. And one of the character traits of God is that God is good. Now look right up here and let me help you. Some of you, your faith has been weakened. And you know what, folks? We can't fix what we won't acknowledge is broken. There's Christians that when I preach on the goodness of God, they get almost angry about it. They want to set out there and say, well, maybe he has to be to other people, but he hasn't been to me. And you've got to understand what's happened. The reason that your faith has been so weakened is you've let Satan whisper in your ear and convince you that you do not serve a good God. But that is a lie. You do serve a good God. And God's not just good some of the times. God's good all of the time. Yes, He is. You see, God, listen, this matter of God's character. Let me tell you what the problem is a lot of times. And I want you to listen to me and really hear me. You know why some folks are so upset at God? It's because you want God's character to match your belief system instead of your belief system match the character of the God that's presented in the Word of God. Guess what? Let me give you this. God is holy. Now, I'm sorry if you're bothered by that tonight. But you see, God's not going to lower the standard of His holiness to make you feel a little better. He expects us to raise the holiness of our life to be in conjunction and to be reflective of the fact that we serve a holy God. You see, folks, holiness, and when we preach on the holiness of God, that shouldn't be a negative thing. That shouldn't be a bad thing. That shouldn't be a thing that upsets Christians. But it's almost like we resent God. And where did that come from? Man, I wish You know what? We may not say it out loud, but I'm convinced half the Christians, carnal Christians in America, are sitting out there saying, you know what? I just wish God wasn't so holy. It's just ridiculous that he won't accept certain things that I want to do is all right. That's true. I'm just flat telling you. I've preached enough on holiness and seen enough scowls on people's faces that claim to be born again Christians. I'm thinking, you know what? You listen, where'd you get that stuff at? Why are you upset at God for being holy? Why have you allowed Satan to whisper in your ear and to try to put God in bad light and give God a bad report? Because good night, he just requires way too much. God is loving. Yes, he is. You see, folks, what we want to do is we want to, listen, everybody in the world, everybody in this room, you're going to go through some heartache. You're going to go through some disappointments. Not all of your plans are going to work out. And you know what? Satan uses every valley in your life and every failure in your life. And you know what he wants to do? He wants to turn all of the blame on Almighty God and defile his character in your mind. And folks, let me say this. No matter what happens on this earth, God is good. God is righteous. God is loving. God is holy. He never changes one single bit. You see, what he wants to do is he wants to attack your faith in God by attacking your view of the character of God. But let me say this, God is not a liar. God is always true. God is not wrong. God is always right. God is not unfair. God is always fair. God is not bad or evil. He is holy. He is righteous. And you know what? I'm going to put my faith in the God of the Bible. And that's how this book represents God. And folks, listen to me. If something doesn't happen right on this life, why in the world, why won't we just walk over the mirror and look in the mirror sometimes? Why don't we get mad at the devil? He's the one walking on this earth causing havoc. Why don't we look at the sins in our lives? You know, the honest truth is we want to do what we want to do, and we want to go what we want to go, and we want to have an attitude like we want to have, and then we want God to amen all of that. So let me give you something. I promise you this is true. We almost need to start all over completely from scratch and get a hold of the Bible and start in Genesis 1:1. And read the Bible, and every single time the Bible says something about the character of God, we need to write it down, and then we need to get all of that together in one place and say, this is the God of the Bible. This is his character. This is his attributes. And you know what? By faith, I'm going to put my faith in that, in a God that has that character, and believe that that never changes. And that he always is the things that the Bible says that he is. Now don't let Satan... Now listen, folks, the second attack. Let me ask you how effective God's been. Honestly, how effective has Satan been in your heart and your mind of attacking the character of God? Of allowing you to view God's character as being less than holy, less than right, less than loving, less than good. How effective has Satan been in attacking the Word of God in your life? I mean, do you open the Bible with confidence and read it, and everything that you read say, you know what, I can rely on that, that's absolutely true, that's right. If the Bible says not to do that, I'm not going to do it. If it says to do it, I'm going to do it. You know what, if God says that this is not wise, I'm not going to participate. If he says it is wise, I'm going to participate. I mean, how much confidence do you have in this book? Because Satan attacks God's word. There's a crazy amount. I can't believe, well, I do. Because the Bible even warns us that, you know what? Even Satan himself is an angel of light. And he has his ministers of light. And I'm just shocked at what I hear preached. I'm just shocked at sometimes what I... There are so many people handling the Bible, and you know what their intent is? Their intent is to take the Bible and to change it into what matches our culture of just taking it for what it says. I heard something the other day, just crazy stuff. You know what? Any verse that demands a righteous life, any verse that promotes us living different from the world, those verses are systematically and regularly attacked from pulpits. From pulpits. I heard something the other day. I just couldn't believe it. There's a preacher that I got emailed to me a little segment of a message. There was a preacher that mentioned the verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And he mentioned the verse that tells us to abstain from every what? Abstain from every appearance of evil. This is a man who has a culture-driven church. Here's a man where he will not preach against sin. This is a man that, you know what, anything goes. Just come in and give the money and I won't preach it. And he said, you know what, that verse is horrible. Listen, this is what he said. That verse is horribly misinterpreted by a lot of so-called fundamental preachers. That does not... So it says abstain from the appearance of evil. That doesn't mean to abstain from anything that might appear to be evil. It means that if evil appears, you're to abstain from it. And I thought to myself, you know what they're doing? They are searching the Word of God and they're pulling out every single verse that calls us to holiness. And they are going to study that thing. They're going to put on their desk 16 different translations. They're going to study the Greek of the Greek of the Greek of the Greek of the Greek. And they're going to work on that verse until they can walk in the pulpit and basically say, what it says in plain black and white is not what it means. But let me say this, folks. What this book says in plain black and white, it really means. It means it. And Satan is always trying to attack. Young people, let me tell you something. Every verse that you have, that you have a conviction based on, you won't get very far into life where someone's trying to take that verse and reorganize it and redefine it so that they can take from you every single thing that you stand for. You know what? When I hear, does that really mean that? I think, hath God said? That's what I think. Good night, folks. Listen, just read the Bible and believe it. Just read the Bible and take it for what it says. Satan is attacking God's character. Satan's attacking God's word. And then Satan attacks God's leading. God's leading is designed. He told Eve, God's leading is designed to keep you from all that you could have and be. And it's almost like he's been so effective in this. It's just crazy the fact that so many Christian young people view the will of God as some kind of a punishment. Something that, my goodness sakes, if I accepted, I'm accepting a death sentence. Good night. What happened? Satan has somehow in your life been effective in convincing you that God is a horrible God. And God is a hateful God, and God constructs a plan for every person's life so that if they follow that plan, they'll be miserable. That is so untrue. The exact opposite is true. If you walk away from the will of God and you turn your back on the will of God and you pursue your own will instead of God's will, that's where the misery lies. How in the world did this get turned around? You see, Satan's best chance of keeping you from the successes that faith brings is to cause you to begin to live by sight instead of by faith. The Bible says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Satan will do this by trying to make us feel that we have to make the decisions of our life on our own. That we have to use our own judgment, our own wisdom. He does this by attacking our view of God, our faith in the Word of God, and our confidence in the leading of God. Because if you get the point as a Christian where you think, you know what, I just can't trust God. I just can't trust His Word. And I'm very suspect of His leading. Then you're wide open to take that step from being a person who walks by faith to one that's walking by sight, because what you're saying then is, since I can't trust God, His Word, or His leading, then I have to trust me. You're going to trust your character. I mean, your character is more pristine than God's character. I'm going to trust what I say. Oh, okay, your word is more accurate than God's word. And I'm going to trust my judgment to choose the direction of my life. Okay, your wisdom is greater than Almighty God. Now, what I'm saying, folks, is listen, we are commanded to live by faith. And so what do? We put our faith in the character of God, and that character is unchangeable. We put our faith in the Word of God, that the Word is reliable. We put our faith in the leading of God, knowing that it's trustworthy, and we make these statements with conviction. I will trust in God by faith with conviction. I will obey God's Word by faith with conviction. I'll follow God's will by faith. And then you begin the faith walk. And listen, Satan will never stop trying to attack God's character and God's Word and God's leading in your life, because he does not want you to live by faith. Now, we're in Hebrews. Let's go back there. Hebrews chapter number 11. Let me give you something else to look at. Hebrews chapter number 11. Let me get back and find it. Not only do we see faith defined in the opening verse, in these words, substance, talking about confidence, evidence, talking about conviction, but we see faith exalted. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but look at verse 2. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Let me give you this thought. Only by faith can we obtain a good report. Only by faith, and by the faith life and the faith walk, can we have any hope of standing before the judgment seat of Christ and hearing, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So the only chance you have of obtaining a good report in God's eyes in the Christian life is to live by faith. Notice verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Only by faith can we understand what we cannot see. By faith. Only by faith. So if I have any chance of having a good report before God, then I'm going to have to live by faith. If I have any chance of understanding the things that I can't see and the things that I can't understand, listen, I've got to sometimes just accept what the Bible says about it and put my faith in that. Say, "Preacher, could you explain to me the creation story? If you can make it make some kind of a logical, scientific sense, then I can..." Well, folks, it wasn't done in such a way that you could accept it by logic. It was done, the worlds were created in such a way that the only way that you can believe the creation story is completely 100% by faith. And God did it that way on purpose. You know, God could have used all kinds of processes and all kinds of ways to create the world. But he said, "You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do it in such a way that the only people that will believe the creation story will have to step out 100% by faith and believe it." So this is his plan. He says, "All right, number one, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make everything out of nothing." Now that just drives scientists crazy. I mean, you know, matter cannot be, it can only be changed. It cannot be created. Well, you haven't met God, because God can step out into nothingness and simply speak some words, and from nothingness comes somethingness. And he spoke, and this appeared. 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 And they're like, "Wait a minute, preacher, that doesn't make any scientific sense." Well, you know what? God didn't want it to make... Are you looking up here? Oh, I appreciate you exercising character and watching the preacher at this time. Amen, all three of you. And God didn't want it to make scientific sense. God didn't want you to be able to prove it in a test tube. God didn't want you to prove it in a laboratory. God said, I want to write something down. I want to write holy words down. And I want you to believe that they came from a holy God. And I want you to, by faith, just believe it. Amen. That's what I want. So listen, he's created the world in such a way. Listen, folks, there's going to be a lot of things. It's not just creation. Let me put it right down where you live. "Well, I don't believe in evolution. I believe in creation. I don't understand it. Believe it." Then why won't you, by faith, believe in a good God in other areas you don't understand? You know how many times in my life I have to look at something and say, "You know what? I do not understand it, but by faith I accept that that was done by a holy God who knows a lot better than I do." I refuse to be bound by Satan into believing that I serve a God that is not good. I'm just going to believe by faith. When I cannot understand, I'm going to, by faith, accept that God is in control and God knows what he's doing and God has a greater plan than I can understand. And I'm going to reaffirm my faith in him and my commitment to follow him. I am not going to let the devil use the circumstances of life to shake my faith. I want to help you tonight. I want to pick on you, but I'm sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of my holy God being attacked by people who claim to be his people. Shame on you. Amen. as if God has to stand and give you account for anything. You don't need an explanation of anything. Listen, if I got, well, I don't think that's fair. You want fair? Come on now, you want fair? No, no, really, that's your big hang up? Is God's not fair? So do you want fair? Because I'll go in my office after service and I'll tell him, you want fair. I don't want fair. I want mercy. I don't want fair. I want grace. If I got what was fair, I'd spend all eternity in a devil's hell. That's fair. No, sorry, that's fair. I mean, I chose to sin. I chose to sin against the holy God. Heaven's a perfect place. There's a place made for the devil and his angels and those that will not be holy. And if God wanted to end it right there, he could have damned all of us to the lake of fire for all eternity. You know, I'm tired of it. And you ought to get tired of it, because the reason I'm not mad at you, I'm mad at the devil that's whispering in your ear, and I'm standing up here saying, stop listening to that nonsense. God is good. Whatever circumstances of life God presents to you, you know what? By his grace, you can live a victorious life in those circumstances. You can rise above those circumstances. You can still live holy before God no matter what, because you can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth you. Maybe God has allowed some things to happen in your life so that you can be an example to others of what it is to live by faith and to not have your faith shaken in a holy God. Only by faith can we obtain a good report. Listen, I just got done reading the book of Job. Just got done in my morning devotions. I took my time. I think I was telling one of the young men, we were talking about it, and I said, I took my time and I really listened to that conversation between the three men and Job. You know, a lot of times you read the beginning of Job and it's kind of exciting, it's interesting. You read the end and it's pretty exciting, but you know, the 437 chapters in between where they're arguing with each other, that you can get bogged. And I said, I'm going to really pay attention to this. Now, folks, let me tell you why Job was such an incredible Christian, even though, you know what, he was still a man that needed to learn some life lessons, and God himself even came down and had to straighten Job out in some of his theology. But I'm going to tell you what I admire. Bottom line is this. You know what? Job, in all things, in all of the circumstances of life, he did not accuse God. He did not accuse God foolishly. He said, you know what, I don't even know where God's at. I can't find him here, I can't find him there, I've looked everywhere, but all I know is this, he's good. And when I'm tried, I'll come forth as gold. Though he slay me, I'm going to trust him. I mean, here's a man in the midst of a mess. I'm sorry, but there's not a person in this room that could stand up. And you don't have 1/1000th of what's happened in your life that happened to Job. And you know what? If he can still refuse to let Satan alter his opinion of the character of God, his faith in the Word of God, his faith and trust in the leading of God, God has some purpose in this. And I don't understand what it is. And I can't even seem to find him right now. But I know that this, he's good. And you know what? I'm just going to keep believing in him and trusting in him. And then to have three friends show up. And spend chapter after chapter after chapter saying, you know why this is happening to you? Because you're a lousy, rotten, wicked sinner. You know, maybe publicly it looked like you were righteous, but you've got secret sin. And the honest truth is, you're sitting there saying that you don't, and you're accusing God. Listen, God only judges wicked sinners, and so you're being judged, and you're a wicked. And you hear that from not one person, but two person, three person, and then the young buck that came with him. He's got to speak up, and you notice that he spoke longer than all of the other three put together, which is, amen. Well, anyway, and he had to give his opinion on that. And you know what? No matter what anybody said, Job sits there and through tears, weeping over his heartache and weeping over his sorrow. But he says, you know what? No matter what you say, I know who God is. And I trust in his word. And I've put my life in his hands. And no matter what he's asked me to go through, I'm going to keep my faith in him. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That's a man of faith. Are you getting this? So only by faith can we obtain a good report. Verse 2, only by faith can we understand what we cannot see. Verse 3, only by faith can we truly please God. Verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to believe God. Now folks, listen to me. What we believe about God is going to either heighten our faith in him or it's going to weaken our faith in him. What we believe about God's word is going to heighten our faith in him or or diminish our faith. What we believe about the will of God and the leading of God in our life and His right to do so is either going to heighten our faith or weaken our faith. Now, we're not going to take the time at all tonight, but as you look in Hebrews chapter number 11 and you see faith illustrated, it's the same thing over and over. What happened, preacher? Abel believed God to be a holy God. Abel believed God's commandments, believed God's word, and Abel by faith followed God's leading, period. That's why he's in this chapter. Enoch believed God to be a holy and trustworthy God. Enoch believed God's word. Enoch by faith followed God's leading. That's why he's in this chapter. Noah believed God to be holy and trustworthy. Noah believed God's word. And by the way, God's word sounded like a fairy tale, sounded like an impossibility. But you know what? He believed God to have the character that the word represented him to have. He believed God's words and commands. It's going to rain. I don't even know what that is, but if you say so, build a boat here in the middle of, no, well, there's not even an ocean or a lake. You know what? He just said, okay. And because of that, Noah by faith followed God's leading. Abraham believed God to be holy and trustworthy. Abraham believed God's word when God spoke to him. Abraham by faith followed God's leading. And listen, he didn't give him a final destination. He said, just get your family and go and I'll lead you as you go. Well, I kind of like to know where we're going to end up. I'm not telling you that. You know why? Because same reason he don't tell us where we're going to end up. Hey, I'd love to have one of these days, it'd be great to have maybe all of our folks that are in their 60s and 70s and maybe beyond that, when you were in your teens or when you were in your 20s, what you thought you would be doing right now in life. Now, we've never done anything with it, but I need to. Brother Reiser bugs me about it every once in a while. But what year would you have been in high school?
1997.
What? Okay, it was in 1997. 1997, he's in the 11th grade. Just as a lesson of life, I went down to the junior high and high school learning center, and I gave them these crazy little plastic nodules, and I gave them a piece of paper, and I said, I want you to answer some questions for me. I want you to tell me, and I had all kinds of questions, where you're going to live in 10 years, what you're going to be doing in 10 years, who you're going to be married to in 10 years. All the guys looked confused and all the girls were writing furiously. They already had it figured out. Matter of fact, the same guys in this room still look confused. And we had them put other things in there, made like a little time capsule. And I told them, 10 years from now, it was 1997. I said, 10 years from now, we'll get everybody back together and we'll open these things up for fun. Well, 10 years came and gone. I got busy. I said, well, we'll do it next year, 11 years, 12 years. How long has it been now? It's like 15 years or something like that. All right, I'm going to have to find these people. We need to do that. But the honest truth is, that's true of all of us. You know, so many times we think we know where we're going. And the honest truth is, what God wants us to do is just say this, gather up your things and head out. Well, God, where am I going? Well, I'm gonna take you to a city. And well, what's the name of it? Just come on. And then tomorrow I'll tell you where you need to go, and the next day I'll tell you where you need to go. And sometimes I might tell you to stop. But you know, folks, listen to me. The destination, don't miss this. Faith's destination is not on this earth. Your entire life, if you're waiting to arrive, unless you're ready to go on to glory, be careful about grumbling about not arriving, because we don't arrive here. We're not a Christian. We're pilgrims. Our entire life is a journey. Our entire life is, we think of some destination, some definite ending, some, you know what? God just says every day, I just want you to trust in me that I am who I said I am. I want you to trust in my word and I want you to obey it. And then I want you to trust in my leading. And I want you to let me, each and every day of your life, direct you and show you and lead you and guide you and teach you. And that's what the Christian life is. That's what the walk of faith is. Let me say this in summarization. We'll go home. Preacher, how then do we grow in faith? How can my faith be doubled? How can my faith be perfected? All right, in light of these three areas, let me make these three statements. I'll just read them. How do you grow in faith? You study until you understand the character of Almighty God. you really get to know Him. You ask God to help you to understand Him through the Scriptures. Learn His attributes. Learn who the Bible says that He is. Then remember this. The Bible says in James, in Him is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And then you renew your confidence in God. In who the Bible says He is, you renew your confidence in God and you draw your character from His example. So that's number one. Number two, you begin to study and understand the Word of Almighty God. You get to know your Bible. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Bible's true. Its precepts are right. Stop letting Satan talk you out of certain verses or cast doubt on certain parts of the Scripture. Renew your confidence in the Bible and draw your convictions from the Bible. Number three, study to understand. Study to understand the leading of Almighty God. Get to know the Holy Spirit who indwells you. Remove from your life all that would grieve or quench His working in your life. Listen to Him, listen to Him, listen to Him. Let Him tutor you, let Him guide you, let Him direct you and lead you through every single day. Renew your confidence in God's daily plan for your life and follow that plan with undaunted conviction. So what I think the Lord sent me to the pulpit to do tonight is tell you this, remind you of this. You know what? God's character is unquestionable. It's stellar. And you can put complete faith in a holy, righteous, loving, almighty God. God's Word is pure. God's Word is holy. You know what? You can read your Scriptures tomorrow morning, and everything that you read, you can say, you know what? There is no doubt that that is 100% true. You can put your faith in it. And then, let me just ask you to do this. By faith, after you have renewed and reaffirmed your commitment and your love and your faith in the character of God and the Word of God, then you get up and you go into the day and you say, Lord, I'm going to trust Your leading in my life today. I want to listen very closely to Your Spirit. I want to be tender to Your leading, tender to Your conviction, tender to Your guidance. Lord, if there's a divine appointment, I don't want to miss it today. If there's something You want to teach me, I don't want to miss that today. If there's someone I can be a blessing to and You direct me to do so, I don't want to miss that today. And you live your life by faith. The just shall live by faith. Let's bow our heads tonight for a word of prayer. Let's just take a moment with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And the preacher kind of getting quiet for a minute here. Let's let the truths of what we heard just kind of sink in. Has Satan misrepresented to you the character of Almighty God? Maybe you need to go into your Bible and have a renewed vision of who God is. Has Satan been able to shake your confidence in the words of God? Listen, take that holy Bible, hug it to your chest, open its pages, read its words, and tell the devil to shut up and go away. And believe everything that you read. And then recommit yourself this week by faith to walk the faith walk. God, this is just a journey. All of my plans are subject to Your will and to Your leading. Help me not to be so goal-oriented that I fail to accomplish what You would want me to accomplish today. Holy Spirit, lead me. Control my mind. Help me to think about the things I ought to. Help me to be sensitive to lost souls. Help me to be sensitive to a brother or sister that may be in need. Help me to die to self and live unto Christ. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that You'd help us in this matter of our faith. Lord, the fruit of the Spirit is faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is that quiet confidence in the heart of a mature Christian. Confidence in the character of God. Confidence in the Word of God. Confidence in the leading of God. God knows better than me. The faith walk is a humble walk. It's a walk of humility. Acknowledging that God is greater. Acknowledging that His Word is right. And acknowledging that His leading is to be followed. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to become Christians of great faith. I pray these things in Jesus' name.